the anarchist.
Radio Berlin.
From across the pond.
It's the Anarchist Radio Berlin.
With audios in English, Spanish and German.
And please,
don't mention the war.
Check us out at GenesiroNetwork.com or aradio-berlin.org.
So we're here with Johan Eriksson, an anarchist game developer based in Sweden, who recently published a new role-playing game called Oceania 2084. Hi, Johan.
Hi.
Yeah, as a start, can you tell our audience what role-playing games or short RPGs are in a few sentences, if possible?
Yeah, I'll try to do this justice. So role-playing games can be seen as like collaborative storytelling games where you sit down around a table, you bring up a rule book, you have a couple of papers on the table, which are your character sheets, and you collectively imagine a world that's not our own. And you live out what you think that the characters that you're playing as, how they would react in a certain situation. There is often a player of the game that is called the game master, that is the one like conducting the scenes and playing everyone who's populating this fictional world that is not a player character. It's in essence, the way I usually see it is, if we're talking about what a role-playing game is in the land of literature, I tend to see it as like a rule set that creates fiction or allows for the creation of fiction. I guess that's as clear as I can be in a short amount of time.
Amazing. That was really concise.
Perfect.
So the title of the game, of your new game, is Oceania 2084, which mm-hmm. already seems to tell us about what this game is about. Mm-hmm. Can you dive a bit more into the world of this RPG?
Yeah, sure. So a bit of backstory before I do that, though. This game came out because three different conditions were met. One was that I was developing another system called Control, which basically is like a role-playing engine for any type of game where keeping face would be important. I was actually thinking about Jane Austen drama, romantic drama things when I was writing it. I have my background within anarchist movements in Europe. That was condition two. And I read a Reddit thread, which basically was a poll which said that no one will ever make a good role-playing game out of George Orwell's 1984. So I thought to myself, well, I need to do that then, apparently, because that's the type of masochist I am. So I started developing this game, and I based it on that Control system that I had written in parallel. The world of Oceania 2084 takes its main inspiration from George Orwell's book 1984, and it kind of remixes it, or it's a retake on that fiction. It's not a continuation of what Orwell wrote. Instead, I'm thinking along the lines of what would happen if Orwell would have been alive today, participating in the conversations that are around right now, and writing a similar dystopian vision for our near future. What would be the things that would be brought up then? And then I created this game on that premise, basically. It is a game about totalitarian oppression. It is a game about who we are if we're living within that. It's a game about surveillance systems and the power that that has over us and our social movements. It's a game that is anti-authoritarian and anarchist at its core, because its bottom line is that we do resist these things, not because we always can win, but because it's the right thing to do. Resistance is a mode of life, basically. Yeah, I think that's as clear as I can get about that at this point.
Yeah, I think we will get to some of those topics later. In Orwell's original 1984, nothing ever changes fundamentally. Does this apply also to your world? And as it is also based in 2084, is it also a sci-fi game?
Yes, it's a sci-fi game. But I've, as Orwell also did, kind of toned down the technology fascination of sci-fi, because it's not really about the technology. It's about the social relationships in a sci-fi world, right? So instead of going into like defining exactly how the devices in the world work, I've just written devices and encourage the different gaming groups to imagine what that would be in their world, their iteration of this. What was the first part of the question?
If this never-changing thing also applies to your game.
Yes, it does. There is one principle of the game, and that is that resistance characters or the resistance players will never topple Big Brother within the game. This is a story about the downfall of these individuals. But it's not the story of the end of the resistance, because the whole game is about leaving hope and notes and messages for future resistance movement fighters. So there is a part of the game which is the epilogues that you go through after you've finished a campaign, which allows you to imagine what happens after the game, what happens after this thing. That is technically kind of outside the game. Yeah, it depends on how you want to see that. But in pure gameplay, you will never topple Big Brother. And that is basically enforced by how the rules work. One part of this is that the game is a constant tug of war between the resistance players and the player who is playing as Big Brother. And that tug of war is over narrative control of the world. There are certain parts of the world that Big Brother will always have control over. Big Brother will always have control over the thought police and the higher up governmental areas. There is no way to win in those areas because Big Brother has narrative control over them. But everything else, everything below that is contested, so to speak.
Yeah, and I noticed this apparent contradiction between the collective wish of leaving freely and without oppression, as you say in the book, and the not being able to crush the system, to put it like that. I find it interesting, your epilogue solution to that to that problem. I also had the impression that you were trying to like counter the power gaming or maybe heroism aspects of other more traditional games.
Definitely. This is a very concrete design goal for me because I wanted to stay true to Orwell's way of writing about Winston in his case, because he has one protagonist. Winston is a bit of a bastard, to be fair. He's not just a bit of a bastard. He is emotionally stunted and does horrible things in the book. That flawedness, or that this is not a hero, is central even in the way that you create your characters for Oceania 2084. You have a set of values attached to your character, basically moral values or like convictions, you can call them. There are three national values, and then there are a bunch of personal values. These national values, when you create your character, you will create a character that actually stands by two of them and supports the state in two of these clearly oppressive ideas. But there is one of them that your character will see as the break in the illusion, so to speak. Like, that's where they see that something is wrong. So you will play characters who are actually part of the world that you're imagining. You're not going to be playing as this fantastical hero within this world.
Yeah. So before, you already mentioned that a reason for doing this game was this Reddit challenge, let's call it that. Still, a question comes to mind. Why develop a game with such a dystopian setting? So taking the question, isn't the world dystopian enough?
It is, but a lot of people don't realize this, especially when we're looking at the gaming community. There tends to be this keep politics out of my games type approach. And I actually think games is a really powerful tool to bring out our actual feelings around things and actually get conversations that we really need to be having started. My hope is that this will infiltrate everyone's gaming groups, but of course it's not gonna. It's a niche game, but it's literally what I would like it to do, so that people who are not really thinking about these topics like surveillance or oppression or what freedom actually means would start thinking about this in a group setting and deal with it, because I think that's paramount to the challenges we're facing right now with increased repression in society and increased everything that's bad, all the authoritarian things, right? So for me, it's a political reason to make this game.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. So let's say people are now motivated to try this out. What is needed to play the game?
3 people is the minimum number of players you need. That means 2 resistance players and 1 Big Brother player. You cannot play it on 2 players because it becomes really weird in a few of the mechanics, but you can play it solo. So you can actually pick it up and play it by yourself. It's a slightly different game if you do that. There is an additional rule set that I published around that. You need the core rule book. It's already available for free on itch.io, so you can search for the name of the game on itch.io and find it as a downloadable PDF. And there you'll also find all the character sheets. You will need a set of polyhedral dice, that is role-playing dice, basically, which has more faces than 6. One set of those is what you will need minimally to be able to play. And then you need a pen, an eraser, a room to be in, perhaps, could be good, a table, yeah. And some trust among the players, I would say.
Yeah, that sounds good, and also comes into my next question, because you already also included some guidelines on how to play it, or maybe how to care about the well-being during the game.
Yeah, so I'm including, to start with, the game in itself, its game mechanics and the principles that you abide by when playing are already doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to scaffolding or dealing with what types of oppression you'll face or things like that. It's included within, for example, character creation or world setup things. But in addition to that, I also link to a bunch of resources that are a collection of safety tools around role-playing games. Lines and Veils comes to mind, X Cards comes to mind, and I'm leaving it very open to which of these that you may or may not use at your table. Personally, I think I would prefer play the game with friends that I know well enough to trust that they won't try to traumatize me for real, and that there will be an ongoing conversation around this, and that there is no stigma around that. But that's not the case for all gaming groups. It's not the case for all friend groups even. Then I really recommend using some kind of safety tool. I have one addition there, I realize. In the upcoming Kickstarter campaign edition of the game, I've also included an extra chapter that I might publish for free later on, which is a debriefing chapter, which would be a voluntary addition to any longer campaign or game session where you feel you've touched upon really heavy stuff. So you can help each other, debrief and care for each other after the game. That's also an addition that I've made.
Sounds good. In the game, there's also a disclaimer that the game is actually not for everybody. Some people are explicitly excluded. Can you tell us more about this so-called Olivia Hill rule?
Of course. The Olivia Hill rule for me is kind of a joke, kind of not a joke. The Olivia Hill rule bans fascists from playing the game. That's literally what it does. And it does so in a kind of, it's making jest of, it's a rule, but it's really, you can't enforce the rule, right? If someone picks up the game and they're a fascist, of course they can play it. But having that in the book for me makes it feel like I'm at least making some kind of statement around, this is my toy. this is for the betterment of humanity away from fascism. If you're a fascist and playing this game, why are you playing this game to start with? Why would it be interesting to you? But also, I don't want you to. I don't want you to have fun with the thing I made, right? Yeah, that's the Olivia Hill rule, basically.
Yeah, amazing. It should be in every game anyway.
Yes.
Besides the base game that you already published online, as you said, you're now also doing a crowdfunding. Tell us more about this, please.
Yeah, the crowdfunding campaign is... Okay, so let me start with this, because I know the listeners of A Radio Berlin. For me, I never really wanted to sell the game. I give it out for free, the full rule set, because I actually think that it should be free. But I am also human with emotions, and I would like some recognition for things. So I imagined this idea that maybe people would be interested in having a collector's edition that they can put on their shelf and actually give something back to me. I've spent 4 years developing the game. It's been a passion project. Personally, I just want to have the book. So I wanted to give out the book so I could have the book. That's as honest as I can be about this. So the Kickstarter that is up right now is trying to get 500 copies of the book printed. That's the goal of this campaign. In order to do this, there needs to be a bunch of money. And I don't have a bunch of money. So that's why the Kickstarter exists. If I had the money on my own, I would have just printed the game. But now we're here and I'm running a Kickstarter, and it's a lot of work and it's stressful. And I have to kind of compromise with everything I stand for every day right now, which is, oh, it's harrowing. But it's also kind of fun because it means that I do get to do this type of interview and I get to talk about the game, and it's becoming more known for every day. So for me, even if the Kickstarter actually doesn't end in a reached goal this time, it's been very, very good in many ways. The book that's going to be published is a hardcover book, quality printing at a Polish printer, committed to good environmental things. And it's going to be around 200 pages, A5 format. And a friend of mine, Mika Edström, is doing all the illustrations for the book. I'm doing all the typography and photography and layouting and design of the book itself. That's kind of what it is. I also have one, like the most expensive pledge reward for the campaign is the academic interest pledge, which also includes my master's thesis I wrote around the development of the game. That's for me personally just fun if people want to read. It's also available for free online, so it's basically just a way of pledging more money and getting something back for it.
And what is the deadline of the Kickstarter?
The 10th of May is the final day. 10 in the morning on the 10th of May. That's when the campaign ends. And hopefully it will pick up speed and I will reach the goal. I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe some of our listeners will be interested. Mm-hmm. In any case, we will have the link to the Kickstarter also on our website at aradio-berlin.org. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't spoken so far?
That's a good question. I have spoken so much about this game the last weeks, so my brain is a bit of a jumble. However, I think even if you can't afford the game in the Kickstarter, you can still help the campaign by sharing it with anyone you think would be interested in it. And it would help so much. I'm on a zero budget for marketing and I'm doing word by mouth mostly. Yeah, anything to get it in front of more people will help me so, so, so much. If it gets to its goal, there will be a bunch of books that have not been claimed by the pledgers of the campaign. Those books will be sent out to info shops around Europe and made available through that network. That's my goal with this. I think that's it.
Amazing. We look forward to seeing those copies, and yeah, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.